Welcome to the Sunday Morning Public Affairs Show. I'm Radar with 99.1 The Mix, and you can also hear guests on our sister stations. Down the hall, we have 103.7 KISS FM and 105.7 The Fan. My guest for public affairs this morning is Marianne Kessel. She's an RN with an MBA. Marianne is also the Executive Director of Development at Children's Wisconsin, and she's also part of the Children's Wisconsin Foundation team. Marianne, you're very busy, and we really appreciate your time for being on Public Affairs this morning.
Well, thank you, Radar. I really appreciate you inviting us on to represent Children's Wisconsin.
Can you give a little background on the foundation team that you're part of?
Sure. It was created back in the early 1990s as part. Children's Wisconsin has been around since 1894, so for a very long time, and has been serving the community to take care of kids ever since then. In the early 90s, it became clear that we really wanted to organize. There were so many great folk community members who wanted to give back and support the work that we do, that having a foundation to really organize and steward those relationships was imperative, and to also partner with our clinical and research colleagues who are doing great work and really busy at that effort, and therefore I didn't have a chance to kind of message out to the community what was going on. So we became an entity in order to partner with the community in educating folks and stewarding folks who wanted to support us as we kept as we worked to keep the kids in Wisconsin the healthiest in the nation.
And you're doing great work at that. And you've also been the executive director of development, did I see this right, for over 30 years. You really have been involved with Children's Wisconsin for quite a while. What a legacy that you've built. You got to be proud of that.
Well, I am. You know, when you get to be a little bit older and look back, you, as the proverb says, if you find something to work at that you love, then you'll never have to work a day in your life. You'll have passion. And I feel very blessed that I had that opportunity. I started out as a nurse, as a heart nurse. I was born on Valentine's Day, so that seemed to be sort of fate.
Well, is that perfect?
Yeah, I did. I did that, and really fell in love with taking care of kids with heart disease, and did that for a number of years, and then got my MBA, moved into the administrative side of it, and so I was executive director of the Herma Heart Institute that we created in the early 2000s to kind of organize how we as care providers really delivered that care for kids and families across their continuum. That has expanded significantly, and in 2016, I really felt that part of my life was complete. We have a fantastic cardiac program that's highly ranked in the nation for pediatric heart care, but didn't want to stop my work, and felt that coming over to work with the community and grateful families who wanted to give back was the next part of my passion and my journey. So that's been the 32 years with Children's.
That's incredible, and we really applaud you in the passion that you have, because the help that you have given over the past 32 years, like you said, has been incredible. So if you look back on your career from the time, like you said, when you were an RN until now, is this coronavirus pandemic something you ever thought would happen in our world?
You know, Radar, I am seasoned, but I will tell you that no, I did not believe that something could undermine our society and our globe to this extent. I kind of had hoped that we had systems in place and had progressed so much that we wouldn't fall victim the way the folks did in 1918. So I think there was a lulled complacency and sense of overconfidence in what we could do. Some of that has come from working in the healthcare system, where we have taken on what appeared to be insurmountable feats in fixing kids' hearts that used to die all the time, and now they live healthy lives. Kids with cancer who, shortly after diagnosis, their parents were setting up funeral services, and now those kids are well into adulthood. So I think when you live in that environment, you believe you can conquer. And to be honest, yeah, we will conquer this. It's just a lot more debilitating than certainly I anticipated.
And we're talking with Marianne Kessel, the Executive Director of Development at Children's Wisconsin. Marianne, some people have wondered about the swine flu epidemic that happened back in 2009. A lot of people that I knew back then had contracted it. Is there any difference in the healthcare field, like the precautionary steps that everyone's taking between back in 2009 to this year with the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, we have, fortunately, a very well-established system for isolation, for protective gear for staff and providers, for appreciating when somebody, when a patient coming in is at risk and we need to protect ourselves. That series of time with the swine flu was certainly put people in high alert and certainly made us think about those sorts of barriers that we needed to maintain and be sure were intact. Did not Radar have the veracity, the penetration, the insidious impact that this has? And I think some of it is around that you can be contagious for such a period of time prior to having any symptoms, that it's not a certain population. It really is, it knows no barriers, and it's fast moving. It doesn't kill you right away, so it can spread much more quickly because you don't see the effects until later.
And it's very scary, not only for the general public going to a store or, you know, having to get the basic necessities and the essential needs that are out there. Those in the medical field, are they, like at Children's Wisconsin, is there a lot of precaution taken? Is there a lot of masks and shields being worn? Anything else that's going on at the hospital right now to take those extra measures?
Oh, my gosh, Radar. It is the measures that have been taken are ones that I have never seen before, never seen considered before. We have two sets of a population to protect.
Sure.
We have to protect our kids first and foremost. And in our hospital, certainly we all know that COVID is much more prevalent, or the symptomatic COVID patients are much more adult in numbers. And so pediatrics is, for whatever reason, hopefully someday we'll understand,
right,
Spared apparently a little bit more in numbers. But we have had COVID-positive kids in the hospital. And in addition to that population of, we don't know who's coming in that might be infected, so we are stringently testing any child and their care provider who comes into the hospital, because the last thing we want to do is have it penetrate to areas like our cancer unit, where our kids are so at risk, or our transplant kids, whether they're heart transplant or kidney or liver that are immunocompromised. So that is our first primary goal and mission, is to protect the kids. But in order to protect the kids, we've got to have healthy physicians and nurses and respiratory therapists and all the frontline providers, the housekeeping crew that keeps us so clean, et cetera. So that is then our second priority, which we focused on. And as you mentioned, Radar, that's where PPE comes in. And currently, you don't come near the hospital without having a mask on, whether you're a physician, you're a nurse, you're a family member, or a patient. Everybody coming in is being screened for temperature and any sort of symptoms. Regardless of if they're asymptomatic, they're going into the hospital with masks on. We've severely limited who can come into the hospital. So normally we believe family is the most important thing. We always hope every child comes to us with at least two attachments, being mom and dad, and the more the merrier. And that has been our motto from the beginning. Currently, we've had to, in order to protect the kids and the providers, we're down to one parent or one person can come in with a child who's coming in for a needed clinic visit or a surgical procedure. That's a huge paradigm shift. And it breaks our hearts because we know that kids go through trauma having to come into the hospital, and we've prided ourselves in mitigating that significantly, but right now we can't. We have gone for a fair period of time, beginning of March, where we have stopped doing any elective or semi-elective surgeries.
Okay.
We have cut our clinics down. The providers have done a great job, the front line of protecting each other. There's a group of cardiologists. We have about 28 cardiologists. Some of them are over 60 or have risk factors. factors for contracting COVID, the groups have sat down as providers and said, okay, you're at risk. Here's what you can do from home. Here's, you know, we're going to, we healthier younger ones are going to, we'll have one person staff the clinic. And so kids who must be seen, there will be a provider there, there will be a nurse there to take care of it. But we're really going to respect that we're not going to have all of us in the hospital. That's just, that's not good practice. And it's practicing what we preach, which is to stay at home, please. Do what you can at home.
Now, I can't imagine what being in a hospital setting is like. I'll tell you this, during this wartime pandemic, I mean, I think we can we say that safely? It's almost like wartime. I just had a basic yearly blood test a few weeks ago, and the precautions in the hospital were something I've never seen. So I can't imagine what it's like seeing it every day for those working at Children's Wisconsin. Is there anything that, let's say, like I'm going to throw out and say the counseling or anything that Children's is doing for the essential staff, for the nurses, for the doctors, anybody who works at Children's Wisconsin, anything that the hospital is providing as far as, you know, a little decompression, like, you know, because for me, I walked in and walked out and I went, I cannot believe this. I was astonished for the workers that we honor so much and really thank for the jobs they do. I know it's their job, but I mean, they're putting their lives on the line. I can't imagine the mental stress that's they're feeling from this whole situation.
Well, Radar, and your namesake speaks to the MASH unit of years ago. It feels a bit like that. These people have committed to be there no matter what. They don't know what's going to come in. They don't know how safe they're going to be. They can only do what they can to be as safe as possible. When protective equipment is not as readily available, then there is rationing and having to sort of triage that. That's pretty scary because you're kind of changing the standards by which you practice. Remember also that this, for us in a children's hospital, is a big viral season anyhow. We have babies and kids with RSV or with influenza or other things that are coming in. So we certainly have a population of kids who are in isolation already and needing to have their needs met. So our CEO, Peggy Troy, and leadership have been exceptionally mindful. She's a nurse by background, so she gets it. The system has established, we have a chaplaincy and we also have employee health and wellness. And together they hold sessions twice a day for debriefing, open to anybody who wants to virtual in. We have weekly a call-in for leadership, which for us, we have over 5,000 employees at Children's across the state of Wisconsin. So, Radar, when we talk about what's going on behind the four walls of Children's Wisconsin, we're touching a chunk of it, but not all of it.
Wow, that's incredible. I didn't realize how many employees there are. And we're talking with Marianne Kessel. She's an RN and also the Director of Development at Children's Wisconsin. What can the public do to kind of help out those who are on the front lines? Is there any donations that are possible?
Well, the community has been gracious, engaged, and supportive, and we really need that to happen and to continue to happen. We're not through this by any means. And even once we get out of the first wave of it, I think many of us in healthcare are not certain about, is there going to be a second wave? Mm. But what does that look like? So this is a bit of a long run, and we're not going to get through it, Radar, without the community. And what does that mean? What am I saying? That means certainly we have a Children's Wisconsin COVID Rescue Fund. It's for people to donate dollars. It's online. You can go to chw.org, donate, and in that donate area, you can scroll down to the COVID fund. Why would we do that? We have found, and this is unfortunate, but, for example, the N95 masks that we want all of our providers to use when they're providing direct patient care these days used to cost us 40 cents a mask. It's now at about $7, $8, $9 a mask.
Oh, my goodness. That's 7 to 8 times the normal cost almost.
That's for people to look at after this crisis is over, but that's the reality of it right now. And so we are fighting to get in line to get access to those kinds of things because they're essential to keep our frontline staff safe. And so dollars matter because people also have been donating masks, gowns, hand sanitizers. Companies have done a phenomenal job I can't tell all the stories, but sure. I can tell some of the stories. We had a brewery in town, Eagle Brewery, and they converted from making alcohol to making hand sanitizer, but they didn't have bottles to put it in. Krohn's, which is another manufacturing company in Wisconsin, had bottles. They donated 8,000 bottles so that Eagle Brewery could put the sanitizer into bottles, but nobody had caps. So they went to Amcor, which is a company, again, in Wisconsin, who makes caps. And so together, they all donated and worked towards supporting children. We just got our first delivery yesterday of the first batch of these bottles. So those kinds of heroic gestures are huge because we need that stuff. There are companies who have commercial, some have medical-grade masks that they've been donating. The Florentine Opera and the Arts came together with Northwestern Mutual. Northwestern Mutual donated a large sum of money to have the arts, to pay the arts at a minimum, to convert from sewing their costumes to sewing
gowns,
masks and the gowns.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and so that whole group has brought in masks and gowns. Now, you know, Northwestern's Mutual is a large company, was able to keep some of the folks in the arts, and it's all of the arts have participated in that, and that's been able to keep their people employed. And yet they're then coming back to children's and supporting the health and well-being of children. So, and we've had families who, you know, get out their sewing machine and have made cloth masks. You know, we need to put masks on every one of our families coming in.
Sure.
We want to save the more medical-grade masks for the front line who are doing patient care. So this has been a community win-win. So, yes, there are tons and tons of stories of great things that have happened. And one thing, Radar, mm-hmm. has sort of changed the focus a little bit. So I think, you know, now we're a couple of weeks into it. We've gotten a rhythm. We know we need PPE from the community. That's flowing. We've got a donation site at the Corporate Center of Children's, which is open Monday through Friday from 9 till noon, where people can drop off any donations that they have. We are also expanding our vision, and you talk about the emotional impact. You're going into the hospital and getting a lab draw and kind of seeing the stark reality of being in the trenches. The other trenches are as or more scary, and that's out in the community. We serve all children in Wisconsin. COVID has hit every family in Wisconsin in some way, shape, or form. Maybe they don't have the virus, but they're unemployed or they're furloughed or there are stresses and strains working from home that has really had an impact on, I hate to say it, domestic violence.
Right.
Dollars available for getting groceries or getting basic needs. Our at-risk population, we know the African-American and Latino population seems to be at more risk. There are kids in those families. If people are getting ill and also laid off and don't have money, we definitely don't need community donations for those families. We've already got a line of defense for those children's workers that are going out there to visit the families. And, I mean, the stories are just precious. I mean, families really connect to our social workers and providers that go out to check on them and make sure a single mother who's trying to raise a baby who now doesn't have a job and doesn't have money. And it's tough to decide, do I change my child poopy diaper or do I go get milk for my child?
Right. That's the toss up there. And that's why I'm glad that we were able to talk with you today. It's Mary Ann Kessel, the Executive Director of Development at Children's Wisconsin. She's also part of the Children's Wisconsin Foundation team. For all donations, you can make them online, as Mary Ann said, chw.org. Your donations are greatly appreciated. They're going to be used for equipment for those essential workers and then for families, too, as Mary Ann mentioned, diapers and formula and you name it, whatever the children need, That is why we're asking for the donations for Children's Wisconsin. So just hit their website, chw.org. Marianne, I guess the final thing we can say is wash your hands and stay safer at home, right?
You can't give any better advice, Radar. That is absolutely the truth.
Marianne Kessel, the Executive Director of Development at Children's Wisconsin, really appreciate you being part of our Sunday morning public affairs show.
Thanks, Radar.